Arturo, do you have the control here? Okay. While everybody is settling down, earlier it was announced as a Bible study. I'm going to change it as a Sunday school class, okay? Because last week, we started on a series of a comparative look at various denominations that are existing in this world. And last week, as a startup, we looked at a New Testament church as it is prescribed in the scriptures, and which we believe that we fall in that category, the assemblies fall in that category. We looked at what we believe and what we practice, not into any details, but just the very basic of it and what the assemblies believe. Now, from this week on, for the next maybe, I don't know how long it will take, we are going to look at a general look at other denominations. Now, the purpose of this study is only for two reasons, only two in my mind at least, is to give you an information or an understanding in our minds what are these denominations. They call themselves Christians. There are churches all over the place. You bypass about 20 of them on your way out here. What are these churches believing and what do they believe? At least the very basics of it. That's purpose number one, just information only. Because in that study, I'm not really even opening the Bible, not much. Okay, we will refer to the Bible, but we are not even opening the Bible. So I hate to call it a Bible study. It is not a Bible study. It's an informative lesson for us. Especially for the younger generation, I found it very essential today. I have to give them a very basic understanding of churches. And today I'm going to talk about Catholics, and there is one sitting there who used to be a Catholic. Maybe you should be doing this lesson, brother. we'll go through it and see. Maybe you can interrupt me anytime. It's a class. So today it just happened we covered assemblies last Sunday, or New Testament church, I should say, as it is given to us in the scriptures. When I finish the cycle, at the very end, we will come back to that lesson one more time to give you a comparative study. Reason number two is, once you know this, what they believe and what the scripture teaches us, you will at least get a greater appreciation of the truth of God's word, which we believe and practice. Because many among us believe, they are all the same. They are not. If you look at the truth of God's word, they are not the same. As we go through it, you will find out there is a lot of things, there may be common things you may find, but not on the very fundamentals of the scriptures. So that is the purpose of this lesson. It is only an information and understanding that we know when you have all these churches all around us. So we looked at the family tree of denominations, how many denominations developed over the years. This is just a full picture of the family tree, starting from almost around 1024. We will also go back a little bit here in this study as we go through it. Again, my intention is not to criticize them, not to condemn them or anything. It is simply to let us know, for information purpose, for our understanding, what do these churches believe? And most of us may have some idea on certain things, what they believe. As we go through, you may say, I already know this. But that is okay. But this is maybe a review for some of you. So that is the family tree that starting from the Catholic Church somewhere in 1024 or before. Then there was a split that took place in 1024 AD. The Eastern Orthodox Church split from them. They all fall under the same category, Eastern Orthodox churches, but primarily the same beliefs. Depending on how much time we have, we may cover the Catholics and the Orthodox churches today. And in that particular group is also Anglican Church, which is very, I would put them, looking at their beliefs and practices, we can put all three in the same bucket, okay, in that sense. So that's what our goal is today, perhaps to look at those two. Time doesn't permit. We may stop wherever I have to stop. So Catholic Church, Brother Chris is welcome to stop me anytime when you have any comment, because he knows much better than I am, because he came out of it. I knew Catholic friends when I was growing up as a young boy, and we had Catholics all around us. They some idea of talking to them what they believe and what they practice. In India, Catholics have adopted a lot of things from the Hinduism, practices of Hinduism, idols and so on and so forth. So there's a mixture of Catholics and, you know, mix in their beliefs, in, at least in India. So we are going to look at Catholic Church for a brief time, what they believe and practice. Brother already mentioned this one. They consider that Jesus' disciple as the very first pope from Rome. And he has never been to Rome. We heard this morning. It is not a coincidence. It is the Lord's planning that he spoke on this this morning. It is. Yes. It is. I was thinking of the same thing sitting there when I was. Yes, it is. Yeah. This is what they believe. Peter was the first pope in Rome, and all the popes underneath them, starting from about 540, they have some history, and we'll go through quickly those, though. We may see some pictures of huge mansion-type churches as they go through. It's there for entertainment only. So here is a little history of the first man considered to be the pope, who took a lot of control in their in the life of the Catholics. He's from AD 540 to 640, was the key figure as a pope at the time. And he is also the one that came to view as the ruling over the whole church. When they say church, they are talking about their church. Okay? He said he has the control on the entire church at that time. We're going to move forward fast because these are mostly information. How many are in today? At least it may have gone up or down, but at least around 1.2 billion worldwide out of the 7.4 billion living human being today. About 1.2 billion. About 69 million are in the United States. Okay? Out of what? Population about 350 million, give or take, of the United States. What do they believe about the scripture? We get to some of their belief practices. The scriptures teach, without error, the truth needed for our salvation. Now, look at that wording there. It is not what we fully believe us for salvation, or the scripture. It says it gives us some information. The information that is given for the salvation is without error. That much they believe. Okay? Here is a heresy. The next statement here, scripture must be interpreted within the tradition of the church. Church has traditions. They have rules and regulations that are developed by popes and bishops and whoever in the, I would say popes mostly. The Bible has to be interpreted based on the tradition. It's not the other way around. We interpret the tradition based on the scripture, but they just do the opposite. Okay? So basically what they are saying is scripture is secondary. We will live by the traditions of the church. That's what they believe. Big difference. You get it? Okay. How about the canon? How many Bibles, how many books they have? The canon includes 46 books compared to 39 that we believe, including the 27. There they didn't add anything. But they added something called Apocrypha, which is 46 of them, 9 more than, what, 8 more than we have. Well, what is Apocrypha? Apocrypha is books considered in the Old Testament in Catholic or even Orthodox theology, but not in Protestant theology. Just an example, 1st and 2nd Maccabees, Wisdom of Solomon. I have a list after this, which are those books they have taken. Why don't we have those apocryphas in our Bible? How did we come up with 39? The answer is the Jewish Bible, they considered the Old Testament, their own. They always had 39 books. That's one. Number two, The Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles in our writings have referred to almost every 39 books in the Bible, some reference of something, but not in those apocryphas. And those are books written between 400 BC to the AD 0 or somewhere there. Some historical books, some good information in there, some histories are there, some moral talking may be in there, but it was never to be added to the scriptures as it was given to us in the Old Testament. So therefore, we do not take that into the, what they did. Okay? They are generally called canonical in Catholic theology. In our understanding, they are called apocrypha books. Now, this is a list. You don't have to remember everything. The left side is, your left side here, is the additional books they have written in the blue here. They are the additional books. But when it came to the Greek Orthodox, when they split off in 1024, they added even more. Yes, brother? Thank you.
Counter-Reformation move.
Correct.
They try to back the idea of indulgences because they get it from Maccabees.
Yes, thank you, brother. Thank you. Yeah, I'm glad he's in here today, especially on the subject of Catholics, you know. But when he came to the Greek Orthodox, about 1024, they split off. They found a few more. Their books is, I think it's about 11 or 12 more. Somewhere there, but 12 more in the Old Testament. Again, the New Testament, they all of them have the same, number 27, right? Okay, that's a comparative Bible. What do they believe about God? Here is a common ground that we can have, I call them. They believe about God, the understanding about God is the one creator and Lord of all, existing eternally as the Trinity. Well, the word Trinity is not in the Bible, but it is developed because the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lo and behold, they believe the same thing. What about the knowledge about Jesus? Their knowledge about the Jesus. Okay? Very fundamental. If you looked at the assembly's knowledge about the Lord Jesus, it's the same. Pretty much the same. No, not pretty much. It is the same. The eternal Son incarnate, they believe that. Fully God and fully man, they believe, you ask them, they will say, yeah, it is. He is. He is conceived and born of the Virgin Mary. They believe that. They believe that he died on the cross for our sins. Yes. Rose bodily from the grave. Yes, he believe it. Ascended into heaven. Yes, they believe. Will come again in glory to judge us all. So fundamentally about their knowledge, I'm using the word knowledge for a purpose. They know this. Okay. This is what they believe about the Lord Jesus Christ. About salvation, here comes the difference. I would say heresy, not a difference. Christ died as a substitutionary sacrifice for our sins. No argument there, right? We believe the same. God, by his grace, listen carefully the words here, infuses a supernatural gift of faith in Christ in those who are baptized. Okay? Which is maintained by doing works of love. There are three levels. Baptism, works of love, actually four levels, I should say. Baptism, works of love, and receiving penance and Eucharist. I will explain those two in a moment. There are four levels before you get to heaven. Okay? Is that clear so far? You are with me? Some are nodding, some are not. We don't nod, brother. You said earlier. We don't. Mode of baptism is by sprinkling, including children. Okay? That's the mode of baptism they do. What is Eucharist? The word simply means thanksgiving, literally. That's what it means. The term of choice in liturgical churches for communion of the Lord's Supper. Eucharist, they call it, but we call it Lord's Supper. The liturgical churches are three at least, or not three, a number of them we last week saw, comparison of churches who liturgical means they have a written book of prayer, the priest will come and read and others will respond. And those are the group of people that are called liturgical churches. So they use this word Eucharist. Okay, what is penance? This is more interesting to me. The sacrament of penance and reconciliation is one of the seven sacraments of the Catholic Church, in which the faithful, underline that, obtain absolution or formal release from guilt for the sins committed against God and neighbor and are reconciled with the community of the church. That's a long sentence. I'll explain. Okay, a Catholic who is baptized at 2 weeks old, when he is 15 or 20 or 30, he did sin. And he has to go to the priest, privately tell him that I sinned, I did this sin. And of course, every penance you have to pay. So you have to pay. And the priest has the authority to forgive him that sin that he committed against God or his neighbor. That sin is taken care of, penance. Or confession, sometimes you can say. Now, how often they do this? As often as a person needs or think that she should be doing that. When I was growing up as a child, there was a particular lady that I know who lived about, there was a Catholic church not too far from my home. There is a lady who was a school teacher. She goes every day of the week at 6 a.m., she passes right in front of my house, and she, when she came back one time, I was just a curious young man. I asked her, where are you going every morning? She said, well, first of all, I'm going to the priest to receive a Eucharist, and then I also do for penance or confession of my sin. Maybe she's sinning every day, I don't know. So that is the penance, as an ongoing forgiveness of sin. You are a part of the church when you are baptized, and you receive the Christ's penalty forgiveness when you are baptized. But as an ongoing forgiveness of sin, you have to do penance and go to the priest. Okay, that's level number two. I got the connection here. This is. I think it's the battery is dying on this. That's probably the reason. It's flashing. Okay. Now, what do they believe about death after death? The souls of the wicked at death are immediately consigned to eternal punishment. Well, whether immediately they go to hell, I do not know. At least the Bible doesn't say that. They will end up in hell, which is partially true. The souls of the faithful to what? Faithful to the belief of the church. Go to heaven. Here is a catch. Either immediately or imperfectly purified, I'll explain that, or after purgatory, is that how we say it? There are three levels. You die today, you are a faithful Catholic, your sins were forgiven at baptism, you die, you didn't get time to go to penance, you carry that sin with you, right? And you take it with you, and imperfectly now you are purified in life, right? There is a stage that your sins can be forgiven at that time, which is called the purgatory. You can go to a place before you enter into heaven with your sin that you have not done penance. They will forgive you at the time. Have you heard of people praying for the dead ones? Yes? Even the Orthodox and the Catholics, they pray for the dead ones, hoping that their sins will be forgiven while they are there, and then they finally enter into heaven. Okay? So that is three steps. One is forgiveness of sin at baptism, and at penance on a daily walking, and then at purgatory, if you die and enter into heaven without having cleansed your sin, then you have another chance, and then you will be ushered into heaven. Okay? That's all that is for people who are in their faith practice. What is purgatory? What will happen in heaven if I am taken there? A state or a place which believers go after death to have any remaining sin or impurity purged or removed before going into heaven, a step before you go into heaven. You are cleansed. In the Catholic Church, this is generally regarded as a place of temporal punishment. This is only the Catholics believe that. They call it a temporary punishment. It is not so regarded in Orthodox or Anglican churches. The other two groups that came out of them, they don't believe this part. What difference it makes? Most Protestants do not believe it in purgatory, because once you are dead, either you end up in heaven or you end up in hell, or heading towards that. That's what the Bible clearly teaches. Purgation, or we believe that in purgation, which means the spiritual cleansing of a soul at purgatory, which happens at the day that you put your trust in Christ, once and for all, our sins are forgiven and we go. What do they believe about church? The church is the mystical body of Christ, established by Christ with the bishop of Rome, the Pope, which is, according to them, is Peter, who may at times pronounce a dogma. Listen to this carefully. These popes can pronounce a dogma or doctrine required of all members infallibly as its earthly head. Pope can bring up any teaching, and the church has to do it. Now, I'm going to say something that I don't have a documents, but this is what I heard within the last two, three weeks. This is the new pope. This guy here said, or allegedly said, so don't hold me on it, I think he did, he said the Bible is not good for the 21st century. And he said it's time to rewrite the Bible that will fit the current need of the time. And I believe he will do it. Okay? And that is what he will. So in essence, Pope can write anything, and they have to believe it, because he is considered to be the father of the head of the church on earth. Okay? They also believe it is a united, universal, sacred, worldwide Catholic community through the succession of bishops under whom they believe, whose ordination goes back to the apostolic apostles. You know, they have to go all the way, they can dotted line all the way. Who are us? How do they treat you and me? People who are not in the Catholic Church, they call us separated brethren. Well, we are separated. Hopefully we are by the scripture. That's how they call others, us, other people. Sacraments. Baptism removes original sin. Yes, brother. That's right. That's right. Thank you. So as soon as somebody is baptized, they believe that your original sin that you accumulate or acquired from our forefathers, which is Adam, that is gone. Thereafter you sin, you do penance, but if you somehow die before the penance, then there is another step. Purgatory is there for you. In the Eucharist, the substances, this is about Lord's Supper, but not the properties. The property doesn't change. Well, bread is bread and wine is wine. But they do believe that these are changed into Jesus' body and blood when you take part in it, which is normally referred to as transubstantiation. Is what they believe about the Lord's Supper. Okay? Now, other beliefs. Mary was conceived by her mother. Mary was conceived by mother immaculately, free of original sin. I don't know where they come up with that. And the second one again, Mary remained a virgin perpetually and was assumed bodily into heaven. They believe that Mary is up there in her body. She never had any sin. She remained, which is hard to believe because the Bible says the Lord had brothers, right, at least. Other beliefs again continue. She is the mother of the church. She is the mother of the church and is considered an object of devotion and veneration, which means a show of honor that's stopped short of worship. They don't say we worship Mary, but it's very close to it. They honor her as the mother of Mary, mother of the church. What, there are some trends and divisions among them. About 1/4 of Catholics are doctrinally conservative. I put it in a bracket there, to their beliefs and practices. Don't get confused when you say conservative. To their beliefs and practices, only 25% of the Catholics really believe what the church teaches. That's what it means. Many priests and members tend to accept liberal, pluralist beliefs contrary to the church teaching. You know, One bishop in Detroit and one bishop in Dallas may teach slightly different one than the church teaches, and people may accept their own beliefs. That is very common among the Catholics. My time, I got about 2 minutes. Should we get started on the Orthodox? It won't take too much time, maybe a couple of extra minutes. What does the Catholics believe? They started about 380-330. Emperor Constantine is the person known among them. Until AD 1054, the actual division took place. And they had, in that picture, you can see here, the Emperor Constantine with the church fathers and the nine Nicene Creed. You can pull up on the website and look at those. They're holding it, and these are the church fathers of that time, which also ended up as the heads of the Orthodox Church in 1024. So here's the division, the 1024 great schism occurs and the church splits. Orthodox moved to the east, Catholic Church moves to the west. Orthodox, the word Orthodox, English word Orthodox, if it is on the lower case, well, we are Orthodox too. I hope we are. We are Orthodox in the sense of the word meaning, in it's simply adhering to the essentials of the Christian faith. We do. In that sense, we are Orthodox. Especially as articulated in the early creeds, in the sense of Orthodox, including conservative Catholics, Protestants, and Orthodox. All these three groups can be called Orthodox in the sense of their faith, in their own understanding and of the word. The capitalized Orthodox is what we are talking about. They are the denomination we are talking about, having to do with the association of church bodies of Eastern Europe and the Middle Eastern that became divided from Rome, and the churches aligned with it, Western Europe, in the great schism of 1057. So, you know, with the word Orthodox, we can use it in multiple ways. When you say Orthodox, there is Orthodox churches. Then we can say Orthodox, I'm a Christian Orthodox in my conviction to the word of God. Okay, so just an explanation of that word. How many are there in this world? 260 million worldwide. I mean, you may say, yeah, 261 million. I have no argument about that number. About a million in US. Scripture, what do they believe? The scripture are without error. In matters of faith only, it's limited, okay, the error part. Scripture is to be interpreted by sacred tradition, very similar to Catholics. Especially seven ecumenical church councils, we saw that earlier. Now, those are the church councils. Scripture has to be interpreted based on that. Canon, they have 49. They added some more from Catholics. Old Testament books, the Catholic plus three more. And of course, the New Testament remains 27. Okay. God, they believe the same. Catholics believe the same. We believe the same. They also believe the same. God, the one creator of all, Lord of all, existing eternally as the Trinity. God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ, they believe the same about what the Lord is. You saw the earlier list, so I'm not going to read it again. It's the same list. Salvation, here comes a heresy. In Christ, God became human to the human beings so that human beings might be defied, or theosis, they say, that is, have the energy of God's life in them, whatever that means. Through baptism and participation in the church, God's people, meaning they call God's people, they are people who believe this, we receive the benefit of Christ's redeeming work as they persevere. Understand that. Persevere means you have to hang on to it. You have to do the good works to hang on to it. It's not based on grace. It's not given free. Okay? Baptism is the primary thing for them also. Almost very similar. Different wording, but very similar to Catholics. After death, they almost believe the same. The souls of wicked get a foretaste of eternal torment, and the death during the faithful ones also get a foretaste. They also believe there is potential chance of forgiveness after that. That is why the Orthodox pray for the dead ones. What do they believe about the church? It is the body of Christ in unbroken historical connection to the apostles, changelessly maintaining the faith of the undivided church as expressed in the creeds. Underline the word creeds. Okay, that's their basis, connecting all the way to the church, which is similar to Catholics. the one holy Catholic meaning universal apostolic church, they believe. Churches are organized. Here's the difference now. Catholic church is universally the same, Catholic church. But the Orthodox churches, they have based on regions, Armenian Orthodox, Greek Orthodox, Russian Orthodox, Indian Orthodox, or wherever the nation is, they have their own heads, which they call patriarch, or you know, another word for their leadership. So they are known as Orthodox, Greek Orthodox, you name them. By nationality, they are known. It's bishops under the leadership patriarchs, which is the head of the Greek or Orthodox, and if it is Greek or Russian or Indian, he is the patriarch, the Pope being recognized as one of the several of which that Constantinople has primacy of honor. They connect them to all the way to Constantinople. From them, he connects all the way to the Pope. So indirectly, they are in the same line. What is the word patriarch? We all, there's in Malayalam when we say patriarch, what is the, there's a word that is used, commonly used by the Orthodox churches. Anyway, in the Orthodox churches, the bishop recognized as the leader of the all Orthodox bishops under his jurisdiction, usually a nation or an ethnic group such as Greek, Armenian, or Russian. Okay? He's the top guy in their Orthodox churches in that region or the nation. Sacraments, baptism initiates God's life in the baptized. See, almost similar as Catholics. In the Eucharist, bread and wine are changed into Jesus' body and blood. Then they will, if you ask them, question them, they will say it's a mystery to be unexplained. So since they don't have an answer for it. Other beliefs, icons, images of Christ. Here is the difference. They picked up, as they split into nations, they added the objects of veneration. The Mary, you can see images of people, saints and Mary. They added that. Until then, they didn't have that. Is the act of honoring saint through which God is to be worshipped. So they can honor one of these saints, and through doing that, you are worshipping God. So intermediary worship, I should say. They can worship the saint, they can worship Mary, and indirectly you are worshipping God. Mary was conceived Jesus virginally. She remained a virgin, almost the same as Catholics, and in tradition was assumed bodily into heaven. Divisions, I'm almost done here. A significant portion are doctrinally conservative of their own beliefs. Most Orthodox bodies are members of the World Council of Churches. I don't know if you know this. There is an organization called World Council of Churches to which all these denominations ascribe, because they say we are all the same, we are one. We are all the, although we are separate in groups, we are one. There is a World Council of Churches. I don't remember when it was established, maybe about 50 years ago, and people joined that group. All the liberal and denominational churches are part of them. Okay. I think I'm going to stop there. The next week we'll look at Lutheran. Slightly different. They are moving away from this. They got a lot of truth, but not what we know. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you this morning for this time of informations that we know from the history of the churches. We thank you that you have opened the fundamentals of the doctrine of the scriptures, that we are made known to understand, to practice, to believe, to love, to live, and to be assured of our salvation in Jesus Christ. We rejoice, O God. We thank you for this. We are nobody to come to know this truth. But you revealed this truth to us. Pray that each one of us may be found faithful to what we know from the word of God and never to compromise. We give thee thanks. Be with us for the rest of the morning and the afternoon. We thank you for our brother who is with us as he is traveling from here to Kansas. We have a safe journey for him and others who are here. We pray for each one of us. Pray for the evening carnival. We pray, O Lord, that you may bring many children. Go through it, hear the gospel, and have a good time and sign up for the vacation Bible school for this week. Pray for all those who are working behind the scene. We thank you and praise you. We thank you for hearing your prayers in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now don't get up and leave. Mercy has about a very quick thing to mention to you about VBS. And after that you can go. Some of you have signed up to stay back and help for setting up the carnival. We have ordered sandwich for them only, and they will participate. And those who are visiting with us also join the sandwich.